live from Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio, episode number 289. I'm your host, Brandon Reif. I'll be joined momentarily by my co-host, Jonathan Birdsong. We've got an action-packed show tonight for you, episode 289. We've got the NBA All-Star game that was here. You could call it a dud of a game, but All-Star weekend was here in Indianapolis. Me and John were down there for the festivities, so me and John will kind of recap our time that we had down there. We'll preview the NBA second 20 games of the season based on the league. We'll also talk some news and notes, some drama around the association as always. We'll talk college basketball, Purdue, Indiana. We'll talk those two teams and about college basketball itself. As well as college football making some news today. We'll talk that and more. We've got odds. We've got Danny Bridges from the Indianapolis Recorder that'll be joining us as well this evening. So a lot to pack into this hour and a half show this evening. Take your calls and more. But we can't get the show started without my co-host here, Jonathan Birdsong. JB, how are you?
Man, still a little kind of drained after the All-Star break, man. But, you know what I'm saying, because it hasn't been a whole lot of professionally to kind of rejuvenate us, you know what I'm saying. But there's been some college, like you said, you know what I'm saying, before you kind of chime me in, yeah, there's some college basketball that you got to deep dive into. But I know, man, other than that, man, feeling pretty good, man, for episode 289, man. So wherever you want to start at, man, let's jump right into it.
Yeah, let's dive right in. Let's go straight to the NBA. Let's go. NBA All-Star Weekend was here, as I mentioned, at the top of the – top of the intro, we had the Skills Challenge, Celebrity Game. We had three-point slam dunk, Steph versus Sabrina. But the whole weekend itself in Indianapolis, after coming off a week before where it was 60 degrees and sunny, and how it was 65 degrees and sunny today, Mother Nature hit us with a big snowstorm, 4 inches of snow, and very brutal cold temperatures on Friday night and Saturday. It was rough, so it didn't really showcase the city that well for that. But overall, I thought the weekend and the city did itself good. It showed out very well, I thought, overall, besides the Draymond Green comments about Indianapolis and such. But other than that, I thought it was all right.
Well, you know, there's no accounting for class when you talk about Draymond Green, man. So I will say that. I will also say, man, it was good, you know what I'm saying? Oops. It was good getting out. You know what I'm saying, in the Circle City, even though, you know what I'm saying, you put on a bigger coat, y'all. You know what I mean? That's what I did. Just put on a bigger coat, and it was good getting out. I seen some basketball emissaries. You know what I'm saying? I seen Oscar Robertson. I was, you know, about 4 feet away from him. I seen Dr. Dre. You know what I'm saying? I know we've seen a whole lot of didn't we see Devin Harris from Wisconsin?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Walking around, we see a lot of college, you know, former college basketball greats who kind of flirted with the NBA. It was really a good prime atmosphere. I will say, man, the first time trying to get into the crossover was a hot mess. Be honest with you, with the line, you know what I mean? But like, no, man, from the positives I draw back from it is that maybe second to Super Bowl. You know what I'm saying? Like, as far as crowd size. I don't even know the official numbers on that, but just incredible spectacle. It's almost like I use, like, everywhere you see basketball, something basketball related, whether it was, you know, saying something from the history of the Indiana high school level or collegiate level, or like I said, it was just a celebration of basketball until we got to Saturday night, man, which, you know, so I kind of wanted some of your thoughts on the spectacles of Saturday night.
Saturday night or Sunday night?
That spectacle. Both.
Okay. So Saturday night, I thought Skills Challenge, I thought it was good. Great showing for the Pacers, winning the Skills Challenge and kind of looking like they didn't really pack it in. You know, some of those teams pack it in a little bit. Anthony Edwards playing left-handed. But, no, it was good to see them win that on there, the three-point contest. I always say the 3 points should be the last event of the night because the crowd is the most hype of the entire evening for that event.
Right.
There, so Dame Lillard winds up winning that one back-to-back, first time since Jason Capono in 06 and 07. There's a throwback name for you. Sabrina versus Steph, I thought it was good. I liked it. You know, Sabrina was just hitting threes like crazy, and I thought Steph, I wasn't sure if he's going to be able to do it or not. But I think there's some ways they can add to that one for next year, so I'm looking excited for that. The dunk contest, man, it's a wrap. It's a wrap.
It's
time to move on. I'm sorry, it is. Either that or everybody's scared. Everybody's scared, and as Stephen A. said, you got to blame LeBron James for that because he never competed because he was too scared to lose. And I don't know why he would be because he would win the damn thing. But, it's Jaylen Brown tried. He came out there, did his thing. But, come on, man. D. Brown, like, you didn't cover your eyes until you hit the ground. Come on now. Matt McClung, we've been there, seen that. So, I wasn't – I mean, how many years and how many guys are going to have jump over Shaq, right? I mean, it's – I basically watched it, but I should have probably turned it off, just went to bed.
Dude, I immediately started thinking about Aaron Carter, rest in peace. Didn't he have a song called I Can Beat Shaq or something like that back in the day, man? I don't know, man. We have to look it up, man. It's hard. It's a hard watch for me because you want to see players with prime names and players that catch a highlight every night be in the dunk contest. Jalen Brown's in the highlights every other night. This is true. So,
Are you on speakerphone or are you, like, on your phone?
I'm on my phone. Why, I sound like I'm in a bubble.
It just sounds a little echoey. That's all. It was. I just want to make sure it comes through on the Facebook Live correctly. That's it. But you can continue.
Is it echoey still?
It's sounding better now, actually.
Okay, I got you. So, like, no, man. I just thought it's just better to have, like, you know what I'm saying, primetime basketball players, man. They had Obi Toppin's little brother out there. How many highlights of Obi Toppin have we seen all year? And then Obi Toppin says, oh, man, here's the thing, though, Brandon. So let's be critical, right? Obi Toppin is in a free agent. You know what I'm saying? He's a free agent, right, at the end of the year, and he's got to get his stats up. He's got to get his profile up. Why wouldn't you put your – he has a highlight dunk every night, one or two. Why wouldn't you put your name – it's not even the players that do the most dunks per night, and, you know what I'm saying? They don't even want to be in the game. Excuse me, or the contest.
It's the NBA slam dunk contest, not the G League dunk contest. If you can't get NBA players to do it, then you shouldn't do it at all.
So McClung, he's chasing an opportunity. He's trying to build a resume. If I can go back to back, you know what I'm saying, potentially.
Past that time.
I finally get me a run out there with Utah. Maybe I get me a run out there, you know what I'm saying, as a backup in Dallas.
He's a G-leaguer. He's a Hall of Famer.
Man, this dude averaged a triple. I do. Y'all, I'll go check y'all some tapes. This dude is a walking triple-double in the G-League. But in the NBA, he's at best the fourth point guard. And usually teams only have two.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, no, man, they gotta figure out something.
Yeah. Speaking of figure it out, back in October, or no, sorry, November, December, Adam Silver promised us we would have a great NBA All-Star game. That son bitch was hot trash. Hot trash.
Man.
It was great to have Tyrese hit 5 threes to start.
Nice.
Dame Lillard won MVP. He took 11 more shots than Tyrese. And Doc Rivers and Giannis, those scumbags, they iced out Giannis, or they iced out Tyrese, so he wouldn't win that damn MVP award. Five of the seven, it was seven votes for Lillard for MVP, five for Tyrese. There was a two gap from Tyrese winning it. But yeah, those scumbags sitting there and freezing him out when he's wide open. Tyrese actually out there, God love him, he's out there actually playing it like a game. Everybody else is out there and taking a wild shot. Scotty Barnes looked way out of place out there. You got Karl-Anthony Towns going for the quietest 50 I've ever seen. Just piss-poor defense. I don't even count the points. I loved Silver at the end. He goes, congratulations to the Eastern Conference for scoring the most points. Yeah. It's great. It's a disgrace, John. Yeah, disgrace. Two things.
Did he have a conversation?
He scored 211 points.
That was crazy.
Yeah, 211 points, John. I didn't think I'd ever
see. We all want him to be David Stern. He's not going to be David Stern ever.
No. I did get to meet him on Saturday, though. I will say that.
He's very smart. He's brilliant. Marketing. He's actually player. I think, like me personally, Brandon, he's pro player. So he'd be like, damn, them teams. Players can – this is why we have – but, like, Brandon, it's the all-star game. He had to fix everything. He had to fix the culture of the NBA before you get to the all-star game. You just can't say, hey, man, let's just move the dunk contest in the middle. I think the all-star game going to be fixed. The fizz, okay, right. So, like, you're right. The fizz will be in the middle now, and the exciting part will be at the end. But it's still going
to be 211 points, man. I still can't get over it.
So you go to the game. It's still going to be a game where they don't take it seriously. I remember.
Larry Bird was disgusted.
When you were in your 20s, Brandon, listen, when you were in your 20s, didn't the all-star game still mean, like, something like the all-star MVP still mean something? Like, that was.
Yes, even in my 20s, yes.
So, like, it doesn't really mean anything now.
It hit a wall about 2011, 2012, probably.
Yeah. So.
John, I watched the 98 All-Star game on Sunday afternoon after I got home from work. And, my God, it's a night and day difference. It was Jordan's last one, Kobe's first one. Oh, my God. Just some of the names of players, people playing hard.
Do the players understand that?
They don't give a shit. For them, it's a vacation.
We don't have to watch the All-Star game.
They don't know that.
And the way things are, like, we don't have to watch the All-Star game. There's other basketball on. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to. If you're gonna put out a poor product, I don't understand. Why would you put out a poor product though? Why would you not go out there and try? Why would you not? Go
I
out
think
there?
I have a fix.
Go ahead, because the Harlem Globetrotters should have been out there.
So basically, I think you limit the amount of players that are in it. I think you only go to 10 players. 10 players that are go to 10 players total, not East and West either, just 10 total. They get a nice salary bump because the NBA is making a shit ton of money now.
I don't even know, Brandon. Do they need to get more money?
Hold on.
They need
I wasn't done. Let me finish.
Sorry, go ahead.
So they get that bump, and it's only 10 All-Stars you pick. Only 10, right? Here's my thoughts. You do that. Maybe as an also an incentive, they get an extra year. They can opt out if they want out of their current contract. If they win, they can opt out an extra year early. But it's Team USA, which is Team NBA versus the world. That's it.
I don't know, man. I like East versus West.
I do too, but you can't do it now. You can't.
When you're trying to do a team versus the world, I don't even know. Does that make a difference, man? You have to care about.
I'd rather watch the big three out there.
I care about every episode possible sports has ever been on that I've ever been associated with. I care about it. I care about the product. I care about what we said. You checked me today. This is real talk, y'all, in real life. I got so hyped. I did a video this morning, right?
I didn't mean to do it, though. I felt bad doing it, John.
No, but, like, dude, you have to take your craft, whatever you do, seriously. If you're trying to be serious about it, Crossroads Sports ain't no joke. You know what I'm saying, that he tweets out, that ain't no joke. When I say... You know what I'm saying? Whatever I said about whoever I said about, you know what I'm saying, whatever team, that's not no joke. It might come off a little satirical. My point, y'all, is, like, we always put our best foot forward in every show. If I made an error, either Brandon goes back and checks it, or I go back and check it and say, hey, man, instead of San Diego Chargers, you know it's the L.A. Chargers, right? Oh, yeah. You see what I'm saying? The NBA, they don't do that, Brandon. They don't have – the fans don't have to show up. They don't. Brandon, let me ask you this, man.
It's senior leadership, man.
there was a lot of international traffic that came through that I saw in the Circle City this weekend, right?
Yep.
I think you said the NBA lost some of the All-Star back in 2011, the All-Star kind of thing. I think culturally, man, Brandon, that, you know what I'm saying, steep into that. When you see somebody that's doing very well for themselves and they don't, you know what I'm saying, they just kind of piss on it, like, fans automatically tune out. That's what's happening. And if it doesn't get fixed, like, the Pro Bowl, what are they doing right now? It's like a skill, like, that's a horrible programming. Like, man, they got to get the All-Star game back to, like, where it means about personal pride. If it goes down to 10 players, where, you know what I'm saying, but it has to be, like, come on, Brad. Doc Rivers was the All-Star. That was a joke, too. He was a head coach.
Right. I'm looking back at it. It was just in 2003, which is the year I was graduating high school. Little Brandon was going to graduate high school and go to college. That All-Star game was West 155, East 145, and double overtime.
Wow.
Right?
Brandon, I ain't got my chalkboard with me. I wish I did. I wonder when the Roy Hibberts of the world start getting $60 million contracts, like overpaid contracts you know what I'm saying? I want to say it's right around that time. You know what I'm saying? When you overfat a cat, they're going to automatically cash out early. Automatically. And I think that's where
it is. 2014 is where it went up. 2014, the points per game went up by 22 points on average.
Brandon Reed. Everybody point to LeBron. Why wasn't Zion Williamson? Why wasn't he in a dunk contest? What is he proving in this short span of his career other than he can't keep it, you know what I'm saying,
right,
with a legit woman? Sorry.
Right. I don't know. I mean, it's great. I will tell you the one thing that was good Sunday night, besides Tyrese Haliburton and him putting on a nice performance for us locals here, the only other great thing about that night was that was a hell of a national anthem performance by Babyface. I loved it.
I'll give you that one. I need to find John,
That brought me to tears. The wife was almost crying. She says, "This is so smooth and good." I said, "I know. Hey, yeah, Babyface Road right there, I-65, right down the street. But, yeah, 73 All-Star games, John. I don't know, man.
The Whiffen, like, do we see Damian Lillard? Damian Lillard has two All-Star MVPs. Do you think he's as good as Steph Curry in any kind of way or form? Or he's on that level of conversation?
He doesn't.
So – I'm just talking about his accolades. I ain't talking about what he, you know what I'm saying, but I'm talking about his accolades. So, no, they did. The All-Star game needs work. We'll fix it. David Stern, call me.
We'll see. I always love a good NBA drama, John. What's going on right now with Pat Bev, J.J. Redick, Doc Rivers drama, and Austin Rivers? I love it. J.J. chat back tonight about an hour ago. By the way, I love Pat Bev. I at first didn't like him just in general, and then about six, eight months ago, I started listening to his podcast. I like him a lot more now, a lot.
But he's a podcaster, not a basketball. What is he? What is he?
Which he's a podcast aficionado. I mean, he's a great defender still.
You can't be both.
Yeah, he can.
And not be taken seriously.
I will tell you, his popularity has went up 2 to 3 times more since he started doing podcasting with Barstool Sports. Guaranteed.
He needs to, he's not a basketball player.
We can say the same thing about Paul George, John. Paul George got a podcast.
Paul George is on a daggone super team, and he's actually playing pretty good.
Kevin Durant.
Also, he's on a super team.
Jason Tatum thinks he's the new face of the NBA.
Who?
Jason Tatum said it in an interview last night. He when LeBron retires, he is a new face of the NBA.
Damn. I need to find that quote, too. These dudes have lost their mind.
I'll send it to you. He is the face of the NBA.
You lost You lost in the finals. You think Clyde Drexler, when he lost in the finals, said, hey, man, I'm the face of the NBA? No, sir. That's laughable, man. He went to Duke. He went to Duke.
1 year.
Well, he should have stayed in.
Damn. But
he probably think he's better than Paul Pierce.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, there are some quotes in this, man, that it's mine to take. I truly believe it's my time is coming. It'll be well worth it to me. And he is the best player. He believes he's the best player in the NBA.
Is he the best player on his team?
He is one step away from separating himself as the NBA's best player, is what he said, per quote.
He ain't, listen, if that's the case, then they should win the championship back-to-back. Because if he's the best player, I think, you think so? They are pretty good, though.
I think they got a good chance this
year. But him and what's his name are very close in talent level. Him and Jaylen Brown, very close to talent level.
Uh-huh.
It's a 1A, 1B. So don't be talking about that best player crap. I don't want to hear it. That dude's crazy.
So back to the Pat Bev, JJ, your thoughts?
JJ Redick, man, here's where it costs a lot for me. So JJ, ESPN stirs it because they got, you know what I'm saying, household names and nepotism all on the set. So Doc Rivers' son also works for the Worldwide. And they make it a back and forth between him and JJ Redick. And then, of course, they missed Duke. They all play for Duke, blah, blah, blah. You know what I'm saying? And then, of course, Rivers' son, Austin, is going to take up for his dad. Well, I think that was a conversation differently. You know what I mean? And then it makes it good for a soap opera because J.J. Redick, unfortunately, man, I'll be honest with you, he kind of wants to bury the 1980s, the basketball of NBA. He thinks that is the most inferior thing, and then what we're watching right now, athletically, is the most superior. What people kind of trip on, Brandon, is that athletic, I agree with that statement, but this ain't the most high IQ basketball that we see at all. It's the most overpaid, that's for darn sure, but this ain't the most, right. I'm sorry, it is not. It's not the most high, and it's too young. Already, we talked about this during the All-Star break. It's too young. We got kids, literally kids. The kid, Gigi Jackson down in Memphis, he's having a good season, but like Memphis is, I mean, you know, they stink. And he's having a great season. He looks like he can be a 3-and-D. Like, he can rebound, get to the free throw line. He's got a good 3-pointer. Like, they think he could be the next guy. Like, he's 19 years old. It's going to be 3-4 seasons before that turns into winning basketball. So, but it makes for good drama, though. But, like, for guys trying to play every day, be everyday players, like, I think it pulls away from what the goal is. Giannis' goal is to win a championship. That's why they made the trade for Damian Lillard. Giannis' goal was to win a championship. That's why when he said this dude ain't even good bulldozer, he said give him the bulldozer, right? And they got Doc Rivers. Now, it's still a hot mess because they didn't win three and seven before All-Star break. You know what I'm saying? The reason why Damian Lillard is here and Giannis is here because they ain't for that clown stuff what Pat Bev is doing. You know what I'm saying? I remember seeing the other Lopez brother dancing on the sideline before Doc Rivers got there. When Doc Rivers got there, he immediately said, hey, man, get that clown out of here. And Sideshow Bob is back on the Simpsons.
Yeah. Giannis is getting every coach fired. He was talking about Giannis says, like, yeah, I wish it, I can't believe they got rid of such and such. And, we've got I said on Twitter, hello. I mean, I got 300 some 400 some likes, but I said, hello. You've gotten the last three coaches fired. So I don't know what we're talking about here. Right?
Box,
I mean,
Box left. Budenholzer left.
Yep.
You know, if I fired. You know
Griffin, even though Griffin might be the right guy, but I mean, you're good enough to get you fired. Good enough to get you fired, as the old Dan Dockage would say. Good enough to get you fired, and they come in right now with Doc. It's not working. Doc trying to give up every freaking excuse you can think of, which sounds like an idiot when you hear listening to all those audio clips.
Right,
but we'll see what happens with Milwaukee. Yeah, right now they've got the fourth best odds to win the title. I don't know if I have them exactly to win it, but fourth best currently.
I don't think they're
New York Knicks, John. Knicks have six first round picks over the next two drafts. Yeah. That's enough to get some pieces.
That's crazy. They're gonna probably offer the Lakers the world and see what the Lakers will do. See what LeBron James is gonna do for the Lakers. They'll offer the Lakers. The Lakers are going to offer them the world. And he might think about it, but I don't think he wants to end up in New York. Not LeBron. He said he wanted to be a Laker. Does that mean they go on a secondary plan? Maybe. Then some of those picks maybe stay. But, you know what I'm saying, they're probably going to swing for the Pacers on that one.
Thoughts on the Pacers. They play on Thursday, tomorrow night. They're 31-25. We're nine games away from our 40 we were talking about. Sixth in the East currently. Seems like everybody's getting healthy. We're just waiting to hear on Nesmith what the update is.
Yeah, this is where you do your playoff push here. And, you know what I'm saying, the winnable games. I know we went through it kind of off show. You got some winnable games in front of you, man. Don't have a slide. Don't go unfocused. You know what I'm saying? And then go into the games where you know you're going to have a challenge, where you know the talent level just as good as you are or just mature you are. Those are the games you really got to, you know, say mature. But
sorry, I've seen a tweet that's just going crazy right now.
Justin
Fields. It's now Justin Fields. You know how Justin Fields says he wants to stay in Chicago and he likes it there and all this. And there's a podcast that came out about 2 hours ago that one of the topics they were talking is about the GOAT debate between LeBron and MJ. And Justin Fields says, I like LeBron over MJ. Somebody just tweeted out, Fields is going to burn that whole damn house down.
Don't say that. Don't say that.
He really wants to get out of Chicago.
Dude, you are losing your mind. Don't say that shit, dude. You said burn it down. You're going to burn his house down. Or wherever you're in that apartment complex. You're going to
burn the whole damn thing down.
You better be careful, man.
Shit, that's great. Oh, that's some goodness.
He better retreat. He better retreat a picture of Steve McMichael and tell him get well, Steve. I'm just playing.
Hey, Mondo got released. He's heading back home. I just saw it.
Oh, did he? That's good. That's awesome to hear.
Yeah. Yeah. Also good to hear Scott Pollard. Scott Pollard's he's getting his heart. So,
yep.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Awesome news. So good to see. Amen. John, no, it was good to be down there. NBA, the final push, the final 26, 27 games. It's weird we haven't had any games the last couple of days, but we'll fire it back up tomorrow. I didn't really talk about the All-Star, but Rising Stars game, I really enjoyed that. I did like the Ben Mather and Jaden Ivey shit talk that was going on. I appreciate that. And then Ben Mather won MVP. So, I put you on Twitter earlier, and I told you on Saturday, give me, I hope Deacon's listening to this part, and if not, we'll play it back for him. Give me Oscar Tshiebwe 14-14 over Isaiah Jackson any day. The dude goes out, and all he does is rebound.
Those dudes are going to be – I listen here, man. I'll eat a little crow on both of them. Those dudes are going to be stick around pieces for a little bit. If they can ever get a consistent enough jump shot out of either one of them, you know what I'm saying, the Pacers' rotation up the center would be incredible. So, but, man, a bright future with the Pacers now and looking to the future. They set themselves up pretty nicely.
Right. Yeah. If they can it'll be good. We'll see if Pascal Siakam, Tyrese should get his minutes back up to about 35, you'd think, here with the final push of the season. And we'll see what happens.
But he played a long minutes in the All-Star game.
He did. Well, that you know what that is. That's Doc Rivers trying to get his ass hurt out there. That way they can beat Indiana. That's what that is. So.
Cool.
Doc Rivers didn't deserve it. I did hear a rumor. I thought Doc was going to give his All-Star money to Adrian Griffin, but found out that was false. So shame on me for thinking Doc Rivers would do something like that with his ability.
They should have went to the second best team in the East and made him the head coach.
Yeah, should have. You know, I mean, he was planning the whole time Adrian Griffin's get to get out of there. There's some shady stuff, man, with him. So it's,
yeah,
I'm sure I've read quite a bit about it, but we'll see what happens with him. He couldn't be with a better team right now than Milwaukee with all that's going on up there with them. So, all right, John, we've got to bring our guest on, frequent guest of the program. I am very interested. I know we're going to talk some racing with him as well, but I'm going to be very interested to hear his take over the weekend with All-Star that we just got done talking about with the All-Star weekend here in Indy. His thoughts on the whole weekend itself, I can't wait. You might as well get the record button, extra record button ready for the actual All-Star game thoughts. But friend of the program, Indianapolis Recorder's own Danny Bridges. Danny, long time no talk, my man. How are you?
Good evening, gentlemen. How are you?
Doing well. Doing well. Love this weather.
Yeah, it's nice out today. I spent a little bit of time outside today. It was enjoyable. And, you know, hey, I can't wait for the spring.
Absolutely. Yeah, I was out there with the dog today. We went out 50 different places. So, yeah, it was good. Danny, tell us, you were out just as well this weekend, gallivanting through downtown Indianapolis. All-Star weekend was here. What's your overall thoughts of the weekend itself and how the city put on for it?
Well, I wrote a column that comes out tomorrow, and
beautiful.
I'll share a little bit of that with you now. While I think Indianapolis, Pacers Sports Entertainment, the city of Indianapolis, et cetera, did a good job, not just a good job, a great job of hosting all the planning, the logistics, all the different venues, everything and all the, and then some, I thought that the game itself was another lackluster one. I think that's a nice way to put it. The All-Star game is broken, and it's in great need of repair, for lack of a better term. There's no defense played. There's no incentive for any player to play hard. And
right.
It's just a really bad product. And it's a shame that what capped off the weekend was that, because everything up to that point was entertaining, meaningful, left a footprint in terms of not-for-profit contribution, and just was a really good a good party, as I put it in my column. I said the All-Star game is broken, but the party is still there. So it's a mixed bag at the very best. I just found that the game to be worthlessness as far as I'm concerned. What was it, 211 to 186? So that pretty much tells you all you need to know. But I don't know what they can do with the game. I don't know who hosts the next All-Star game, but they definitely got their work cut out for them.
Golden State next year.
Well, that's a great location as far as the Bay Area is concerned. And obviously the hometown heroes will be displayed. Obviously you'll see Seth Curry and probably, Steph, excuse me. And you'll probably see Klay Thompson shoehorned in there as a reserve, if not a starter. But regardless of all that, the game was just atrocious to watch. And it just leaves a bad taste in my mouth. I'm an old school traditionalist. I think players should get after it and go for it. But they don't have any incentive to do that today. And we've got guys in that game on Sunday who don't play hard every night in the regular season, whether it's load management or restricted minutes and back-to-back, things of that nature. The NBA season is a grind, but the All-Star game shouldn't be an aberration.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I thought me and John were going over to the crossover event. I got into the crossover event, but I was shocked with how the NBA and the convention center staffing made it for you to get in, because it was a clustered mess to try to get around in the correct lines. There was no line guidance. There was no security. There was fights in the line because people were cutting it. And then once you got in, it was just – I was very shocked how that aspect of it went, because it was a clustered mess, I thought.
Well, when you've got events, and let's back up a minute. When you've got tickets that are scarce for the game, if not impossible, you've got high prices, in my opinion, for the Saturday night festivities, the All-Star Saturday night, which is what, the dunk contest, the skills contest, three-point shooting contest, et cetera. Some of the events at the convention center are, if not free, more reasonably priced. So that's going to be a premium on the demand for how many people want to get into maybe what they can afford or what they've got access to. And that's another huge problem with this weekend is how tickets are allocated, what the ticket prices are, secondary ticket agencies getting their hands on them and driving the cost up even more. But no, I'm not surprised to hear what you say because the convention center, as wide open as it is, it has its square footage limitations as well. And a lot of people were interested in the activities leading up to the game. So, you know, Thursday,
yeah.
Friday,
yeah.
Saturday were hot days in Indianapolis as far as accessibility and seeing what was going on.
Yeah, you had timed entry at noon and 3 for Friday and Saturday to get in. I got in line at 11:30, and I didn't get in until 1 o'clock.
That's tragic, and that's a complete failure as far as, I dare say, customer service, but the paying customer, the basketball fan, mm-hmm. however you want to term it. And that's really
yeah.
disappointing to hear, and I can't imagine the patience.
Well, and there was, it is what it is there. But, you know, I did see a nice interview. Somebody said a father brought his two kids and his wife, and they went to do the 3 p.m. entry time and to go All-Star Saturday night. Well, the convention center is only open until 6 for the crossover event.
Right.
They didn't get in until 4:45 for a timed
yeah.
event they had at 3. So,
well, it's a numbers game. I didn't realize those kinds of numbers were going on down there and how they were limiting people and what the limited in and out times are. But it's a shame for anybody who waited to see XYZ, whatever event they're looking for or whatever aspect of that, and not being able to enjoy it fully, if at all.
Yeah. The good side of it, though, it looks like the city economic impact looks great. The donations to the Boys and Girls Clubs, to what the NBA donates and what the players, you know, they each played for, I guess you want to call it that, played for an association. But the good side is what the economic impact for that host city is, and it's going to be good. Just kind of get what's conceivable for the city.
Well, certainly you want to make as much money. You want to spread the wealth as much as possible in the not-for-profit community. But again, I go back to the accessibility and just
yep.
how pathetic the actual game itself has become. To mm-hmm. me, it's unwatchable. I have no use for it. To each his own. I love NBA basketball. I just don't care for what basically is an extension of Saturday night. How many dunks can we throw down? How many alley-oop dunks can we get? How many times can we shoot a three? I mean, it's just tough basketball to watch if you're a purist or a traditionalist. I also realize that I'm not the target demographic they're looking for. I'll be 65 in May, so they really don't give a heck what I think. But I think that there's a lot of people that would like to see a competitive event on Sundays,
yeah.
on the All-Star Sunday game, and that just
yep.
hasn't been the case for many years now. I don't know how you fix it. I really don't. And to be quite honest with you, I was glad when that game was over.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 100%.
We probably had to strip it down and not have LED lit up floor and had to go back to a straight up hardwood. You know what I'm saying? Not so many lights and bells and whistles, but I'm sure the networks would love that. But, it needs to fix for sure.
Switching to auto racing, Danny. Monday's delayed Daytona 500. William Byron getting the win. And there's people talking to the questionable ending, but I was okay with it because I had money on William Byron to win that. So I was happy. But overall, I thought good race overall. And I was actually a little bit more impressed with Kevin Harvick in the booth personally than I thought it would be with him in there transitioning. But your thoughts on how the Great American Race went?
Well, restrictor plate racing is generally tied to one thing, a big wreck and how many cars are, as a result, you know, out of the race. That late skirmish there at the end set the tone.
Yep.
The herd, was thinned out quite a bit as far as competitors. Obviously, Hendrick is always going to be strong on restricted play racing on any track. Really, when you talk about horsepower, they're always going to be at the top of the list. So not surprised that a Hendrick car was fast enough to win the race, but how it came down at the end there as far as the, I don't know, the last, what, 10 laps or so, was textbook restrictor plate racing. So no big surprises there. You know, they're on to Atlanta this weekend, and that's a fast track as well. It's a different type of fast, but it's not a restrictor plate race. So it's, you know, NASCAR has become, in an interesting way to me, they cater to a lot of different disciplines, whether it be, you know, the road courses that they run, the restrictor plates, the 1.5 mile ovals, and of course the classic short tracks. So they try to keep it diversified. The TV numbers were probably not as good as they would have been on Sunday, having the race at Monday at 4 p.m. But all in all, they got it done. They raced on a day without rain. That was important. And, you know, no big surprises. William Byron's a hell of a driver, and he's racing for arguably the best team in NASCAR. So no huge surprises, but, you know, doggone it, you like to see everybody who's got a shot at the end be bunched up without wrecking, but that just doesn't happen at Daytona with restrictor plates.
Yeah. On the IndyCar side, we're about about a month or so away from the start of the 2024 season. What storylines, Danny, are you looking forward to the start of the IndyCar year?
Well, it'll be 2 weeks from this coming Sunday, to be exact.
Oh, geez. All right. Perfect.
That's something I am looking forward to. I'm going to St. Petersburg like I do every year. I think the storylines are kind of mixed. I mean, you've got Marcus Ericsson is now a member of Andretti Autosport. You've got Alex Palou, obviously firmly entrenched at Ganassi. He's along with, obviously, the great Scott Dixon. I think the usual suspects are in the hunt. Obviously, the same three guys are back at Penske. And, you know, McLaren is obviously going to be strong with Rossi. And, you know, David Malukas is out with a fractured hand right now. And, obviously, Pato O'Ward, as far as the most exciting young driver in IndyCar today. But the storylines, I think, more so than drivers is the hybrid system. When are they going to implement that, which is an energy-saving system which allows for more horsepower? It's a recovery system, actually. It's not a gimmick as much as I like to think push-to-pass has become. But, no, I think there's a lot of unproven qualities about this year's field, and there's also some concern about, hey, when are we going to get our hands on that hybrid? We're doing more testing. In fact, they're testing this week in Florida. So I think everything revolves around the Indianapolis 500. So you've got St. Petersburg. You've got an exhibition for $1 million at Thermal Club. You've got Long Beach. And then you've got Birmingham at Motorsports Park there. So those all lead up to the month of May. So that'll give those guys a chance to, without an oval, get their feet wet as far as, you know, getting to know their teams and becoming efficient in the pits and things of all that nature. But I really don't know what to think about the direction of IndyCar. If you talk to young guys like Pato O'Ward, they'll tell you they need to do things a lot differently. The biggest thing that sticks out to me about the series is you've got a 12-year-old chassis. They haven't had a new car since, I don't know who was president the last time they had a new car. So it's an old thing. And I think it's a cost-effective measurement. I don't think that the series realizes, or I think the series does realize, how expensive it would be to implement a new chassis. So the car they've got now is, you can definitely say, battle-tested. But it's the same car. It's a spec series for the most part. Yeah, you've got two different engine manufacturers, but those engines are quite a bit alike in terms of how they're set up and how much horsepower they can make and the good and the bad and the ugly of each one. So, you know, it's a spec series, and I don't like that, but mm-hmm. It has provided some very spirited racing in the past few years, We've had some great Indianapolis 500s, which is really the bellwether for everything. This is the last, next to last year of the television contract for NBC. I'm sure Fox and CBS would love to have the 500, but I'm not sure any network wants to be in the IndyCar business. But you can't cherry pick the big one without taking a lot of the other races as well. In fact, you got to take the whole package. So time will tell, but I'm interested and excited about the season getting started and looking forward to St. Petersburg. Hopefully the weather will be hot and no rain.
Yeah, absolutely. How did Kyle Larson's test go here at Indianapolis recently?
Well, he got up to speed quickly, which is no surprise. He's a talented individual. He can drive anything. He's won in everything. His effort will be first class. McLaren will provide him with a great race car, and he will certainly have every opportunity to distinguish himself. If he's not the rookie of the year and doesn't finish in the top 10, I will be flabbergasted. Could he win the race? Sure, but a lot of things would have to go his way for that to happen. You'd have to have perfect pit stops. The car would have to be impeccably balanced. And those things don't always just come into play because you want them to. But Gavin Ward is the team principal year-round for McLaren. Obviously, Zach Brown will be in tow on the month of May. And Kyle Larson will have every resource possible to drive well. That doesn't mean it'll happen, but I'd be real surprised if he's not both the rookie of the year and a top 10 finisher.
Okay. Last one for me. IndyCar announced their schedule. Two things of note for me. One, they moved Nashville to the last race now for the championship race, the last one of the circuit. And they also initially was going to move it to Broadway, but then now with the Titans stadium going to be getting getting new one getting built in the parking lot where they used to have the old race. Now it's going to the Super Speedway. Your thoughts on that? Good move to have Nashville Super Speedway as the finish?
I think so because I like ovals better than street courses.
Same.
I do like the permanent road courses such as Mid-Ohio, Elkhart Lake, et cetera. But, there is NFL is king as far as a new stadium going up because they'll have concerts in that stadium as well. They thought they could balance the two together, the construction and the street race course, but obviously they can't. So it's a good substitute. A lot of people down there will say, hey, we really like the street course. It was a party and this and that, and that'll come back eventually. But I think they're fortunate to have a track they can fall back on, to be quite honest with you. And the attendance will be good. The people in the Nashville area have supported IndyCar with open arms. Nashville is a vibrant city at night. Downtown on a weekend, you're going to find a lot going on. And even though the track is probably, I think it's in Lebanon, Tennessee, if I'm not mistaken, I'm going to say about 25 miles from downtown Nashville. That's close enough for everybody to get their party on. So I don't think you're going to miss much of a beat. But it's been oppressively warm down there the last 2 years. Before last, it was extremely hot and humid. Hopefully that can go away a little bit. But the bottom line is IndyCar is fortunate to have a good partner in Nashville, and they're very fortunate to have a very capable alternative venue for that race.
Perfect. Awesome. I wish they'd add a Texas back. I like Texas race every year.
Yeah,
I don't know why.
That's a disappointment. That's a great track to watch a race upon. I can remember back in the IRL days with Scott Sharp, Billy Boat, and Greg Ray driving so low on the circuit that dust was flying up from the grass. And that's pretty crazy when you're looking at 200 miles an hour. But there's been a lot of great racing down there. I do think it will come back. NASCAR is the focal point down there. But I do believe that you will see the Indy cars once again at Texas, if not next year, the year after. I don't think it's off the grid forever, but was a little bit disappointed this year. But to be honest with you, attendance had really dropped down there. Year before last, there might have been 5,000 people there. Last year, a few more, but not dramatically. So they've got some work to do, but I think in conjunction with the series, as well as the promoter and that track, they'll get it back again, and they'll go racing there again eventually.
Yep, lot more ovals this year with the two Milwaukee races, the Nashville race, and then the Iowa races and Indy, of course. So I'm a big oval guy myself, so I was glad to see the good mix now with more ovals on.
Yeah, and don't forget, they call it Gateway, Madison, Illinois. I call it St. Louis because you're just across the bridge. That's also a good oval there at the Worldwide Technology Raceway. So the more ovals, the better in my book. But you're right. It's been a while since IndyCar had as many ovals as it's going to have this year, and I'm excited about that.
Yeah, absolutely. My last thing, I was watching a documentary on YouTube the other night. It was the rise and the fall, and I actually went to one with my dad when I was younger, but the rise and the fall of Kentucky Speedway there in Sparta.
Yeah.
And
Sparta, they had a little casino down there and everything, yeah.
Yep. I remember going down there, and I remember the last year we went down there, it was almost a nightmare. We got down there the day before, thank God, but the nightmare trying to get in, and the race is already halfway through, and oh, gosh.
Yeah, it was a public relations nightmare. If you didn't go really early, you were in bad shape. But Sparta served its purpose fairly well, and, that's the IRL days of sorts, but the bottom line is, I think IndyCar is better on an oval track, whether it be the mile-and-a-half type thing, a mile-flat oval in Milwaukee, and I'm glad to see there's going to be two races there. That's a doubleheader, as well as Iowa. So, as I said earlier, at the risk of redundancy, the more ovals, the better. I couldn't be happier about that, and there'll be some great racing on those ovals. I guarantee it.
Can't wait. Can't wait for the IndyCar season to get started. John, you got anything else? Sorry, I kind of took over there.
Nah, man. Dude, y'all window is a whole zone, man, because I was going to ask about, with certain races, no longer being available, but like how more races are just popping up out of it. So, like, no, the racing in America is as healthy as ever.
It's a travesty that the F1 won't let Andretti get into F1. I will say that.
Well, that's a difficult thing, but I think there's a couple layers to the onion that perhaps aren't being looked at. Number one, these are some really greedy sons of guns in that series. Bernie Ecclestone made all those guys super rich, and they don't want to share the wealth. That's the bottom line. I don't think it's simply the Andretti faction not getting in. I think it'd be the same if some other organization was attempting to do the same thing. It's criminal, almost in my opinion, that a former F1 champion's son can't get an opportunity to get on the grid. I know Mario Andretti is devastated by it. He said it publicly. And I just can't help but think that Michael Andretti's day will come in F1, but it's not going to happen soon. Some people think he's going to have to buy an existing team to get in. That might be a way in. But it really is difficult for me to understand with the momentum that Formula One is enjoying in this country with three races now, Miami, Austin, and Las Vegas, that they can't see the value of the name Andretti supported by General Motors. That's just mind-boggling to me. And, I wasn't surprised, but I was very disappointed.
Yeah. Yep. That's the great Danny Bridges, Indianapolis recorder. Danny, thanks for joining us again, sir, and we hope to have you on again soon.
Look forward to it. Take care, guys. Appreciate the opportunity.
Yep. Thanks, Danny.
Absolutely.
Good night.
All right, John, that's Danny Bridges, Indianapolis recorder. Always a great to talk with him, whether it be local here going on with our local sports here, and Pacers or whatnot, and then as well as auto racing. So me and him did a little one-on-one there with IndyCar and NASCAR. Looking forward to it. So great information there from him. So that'll be up on the podcast as well. So, and John, I'm sure we'll get some clippets for that to put out on the social media feeds. Let's bring our guy on here. Decon, what's going on?
Where's he at?
Hello, Decott.
Call back.
I'll put him on hold again. He must be at the roulette wheel. So we'll get him back on. Let's go. We'll bring him on after this. We'll go college basketball, John. Purdue lost to Ohio State on Sunday. Kind of a bad loss, overall. Lawyer hasn't hit a three. He's hit about as many threes as I have the last four games. They play Rutgers tomorrow night, still up in first place in the Big Ten. So UConn losing last night by 20 to Creighton.
Surprised.
Yeah. I mean, I took Creighton plus 2.5, and I thought it was dead in the first half, but they came back, got the dub. Hoosiers, John. Hoosiers lose to Northwestern, who was without their second-leading scorer, and Boo Booey, who was playing horrible. They've lost 8 of their last 12. They've played Nebraska here in about a half hour. Mike Woodson says it's must win the rest of the way out.
It is.
Couple things.
They haven't won a Big Ten road game.
No. Couple things. They haven't won two in a row. Hoosiers haven't won two in a row since December. Number one, Woodson says, quote, said yesterday, quote, I ain't going anywhere anytime soon. I'm just going to build this team and put them in the best position possible and see where that leads us, quote. Woodson also said on their struggles, John, in his post-game press conference the other night, and then he got roasted not only by me but by Indy Sports Radio. We don't – on their struggles. Well, we don't have our point guard. There's obviously talking about Xavier. Mike, Penn State was without their leading scorer, and Northwestern was without their number two leading scorer, and they still came out and beat you. So I don't want to hear these excuses from Woodson on, well, we don't have this. You're better without Xavier Johnson, I would say. You guys are just doing
it. Part of the record, they are. But they're not.
Yeah. Like, get it together.
I get it in his mind from a talent standpoint.
Right.
The best version of Xavier Johnson, right? You would want to have out there. I want to go back to the statement, Brandon. I ain't going nowhere. You have to be tempered with your words. Even when you are here with the Indiana media, it's kind of soft. And I don't mean soft like it's punk, but it's kind of soft. It's not really going to deep dive onto anything. You know what I mean? It's not. Nothing like a large institution. It's not like IU. So, like, I ain't going anywhere. Yeah, we know you're not going anywhere. But, like, there's a better way to say that. And it's a better way to probably instill some, like, you know what I'm saying, some into this team. Like, Indiana, you talking about must win. It was must win 3, 4, 5 games ago, man.
Right.
Now it's must win. So.
He also.
Yeah, go ahead.
I had fun last night.
I ain't going nowhere.
Derek Queen, who was the big recruit, was narrowing down his choices. IU and Houston and Maryland and another place were his big spots. Last night it came out that he wasn't choosing IU, and then officially announced today he's going to Maryland. But last night, John, I got on Twitter Spaces and I infiltrated some IU Spaces. Oh my God, John, you would act like the world is coming to an end for the IU fans with not getting this guy, this Derek Queen guy. You know what? I saw somebody say it perfectly today, and I even commented. I actually talked on the things, and I didn't say I was a Purdue fan or anything like that. I just, as a college basketball fan, and what to expect from IU. My thing is, John, Mike Woodson isn't as worried about tradition, but he's not worried about the getting the winning and all that. He's more worried about getting the players, getting them the best opportunity, getting the best guys in there, whether they fit the program or they don't. Yes.
Right.
To get them there, just to associate them with the name, and then, hey, let's get you in for a year and then get you to bounce, right? I saw a quote when Mike Woodson was hired to IU, and what his thing he said he was going to do was that his job and his goal was to get IU basketball back up to national championship standard. Has he even came close to doing that since he's came back to IU? Has he even sniffed it?
No.
Not even
close. Everybody ain't diving on the floor. You know what I'm saying? They don't necessarily lead anything. The Big Ten in any distinct top five category. They're a long team. You see the potential for when these guys are going to be 24, 25 down the road. You know what I'm saying? But damn, you need it right now. So, like, why can't you coach to their strengths? And why can't you know what I'm saying, they can't be smarter basketball players because they make mental, they make small mental mistakes where, you know what I'm saying, where not necessarily knowing where their defense, proper defense they're supposed to be in. So
yeah, he says, like, it's my job to bridge the gap between young players who don't know Coach Woodson and the old timers. I'm going to bring back all the old timers, just like the old gays. We're going to bridge the gap between old and new. The players are looking for me to get them where they need to go, and I'm looking to them to get Indiana basketball where they need to go. Like, it hasn't happened. It's 4 years now, 3 years now. It hasn't happened,
right,
Woody. I don't think he has it to go out and recruit like he needs to. Damn uncle, because he was talking and he said something about getting this team back to how Bob Knight had it, you know, with the people caring about Indiana. Some would say, I think it's even worse than what it was with the players caring. Khalil Ware, do you think he cares? He don't give a shit about IU. He don't give a care about the program. He doesn't give a care about the history. How many of them do?
They did.
And that's where it starts. That's where you have to get them. And if the fans see through it, it's simple, right? Everybody sees through it. The fans are seeing it. IU's fans. That's why they're turning on them, because they see through it. These guys are here just to make some NIL money. And now it's even more personal because we're wasting money on NIL. And I said we are. They're wasting NIL money on these players that they don't care about the program.
Right.
And I'm sticking up for IU here. This is crazy.
It's a bizarre world, man. Crazy things have happened.
Scott Dolson says, throughout this process, I was looking for someone I could partner with to return Indiana basketball to a level of success that Hoosier fans have come to know and expect, and Mike is that person. John, I'm going to ask you, we're in year three. Is Mike that person?
Is Scott Dolson that person? I retorted back to you. He's the main constant in effing this, all this IU program up, Brandon. Mike Woodson's not the head. He shouldn't be the head coach. I answered your question. But I don't think the athletic directors they have, who's he listening to? They write the IU Alumni Association.
He does play-by-play for the Pacers, and he sounds like crap.
There's no way he's asking that. Then why don't they go out, Brandon?
I'm hearing Quinn Buckner has a lot of pull for that athletic program.
Then why don't they
he's
go
on the board.
Have you heard? Did you hear Cooper Flash's name mentioned with IU? You didn't. Did you hear any of those kids that you do? Everybody just saw, like, you know, say hustle them up and beat UConn. Last night. No, IU don't go after even mid major like guys that that can win basketball program. Like win it. They're still going after this super name guy that's probably going to be somebody down the road, maybe. Hopefully. You're still trying to play Calipari's game, but Calipari, he played a different game.
Right.
He can lose games. He can lose games, and the fan base is okay with it. They really do. Ashley Judd still really cares about Jamal Mashburn's draft status because they ain't winning the national championship. He believes, Brandon Reed.
Let me ask you this.
So, like, Kentucky, but, like, no, man, and that's Patino anyway, but, like, no, man, he's Calipari is good. IU's trying to do the same thing that Calipari's doing. It's not going to work.
If you're IU athletic department,
go ahead.
If you're Scott Dolson, who's already made mistake after mistake after mistake down there at IU, if you're him or even the president or whatnot, if you have positions open, you're going to have Louisville open up. Kenny Payne will not be there. You've already got Ohio State opened up. Those are two regional teams that – program level wise, known brand. Those are two known brands like IU, right?
Right.
If you're Scott Dolson and you catch word that Dusty May down at Florida Atlantic is going to come back up and Ohio State and Louisville both have their eyes on you, on getting him.
Yeah.
And he said he would love to come back to IU, right? He said that. You know, he'd love to be back here at IU where he was at previously.
Mm-hmm.
At Dolson, do you just say – at what point do you say, Mike, it's been good, but I got to get somebody young in here. I got to get somebody that can build this program how we need it to be. Dusty May could be that guy. Or does IU, as they've done in the past, do they let it just slip through their fingers and they stick with what they got. And then next you know, Dusty Mays winning Big Ten championships, possibly at Ohio State, or you got Louisville that's beaten Indiana in a playoff game in the NCAA tournament. I think you got to pull the trigger if you catch wind that he's going to one of those two positions is trying to grab him.
I don't know, right, but I think he might end up staying down there in Florida, Florida Atlantic.
You think?
But, yeah. But who knows, man, because then, like, one of those power five schools can double his money, and then, boom, he's back. But, like, man, he has to be a little bit aware. Like, he's kind of like Holtzman. He is. He's kind of like – so, like, I get what you're saying, but, like, it was a short turn. It was a short turn, a short burn for Coach Holtzman at Ohio State. And I kind of want to know, hopefully there's somebody, you know what I'm saying, writing that beat, you know what I'm saying, they can kind of, like, what happened that fast? He had a couple guys go turn pro, and, you know what I'm saying, the wheels kind of fell out for him. But, like, no, man, yeah, you have to know. But to answer your question, though, Brandon, you have to pull the trigger. All you have to know is this guy, whoever, though, even if it's Billy Donovan, who might not make it out of the Bulls, you know what I'm saying, season as a head coach, you know what I mean, at the end of the season. Man, you have to know if there's some interest with a better coaching, with a better, more experienced coach. Those would be two new names would be on my chalkboard if I had a
start. Okay. Switching over to college football real quick, John, it was noted today. The College Football Committee has approved the new 5+7 model. Five conference champions, and then the next seven best teams for the 12-team playoff. You're going to get your five highest-ranked conference champs, and then the next seven teams at large, highest-ranked teams. A caveat to this is Notre Dame, John. Notre Dame will not fall into the top four that gets a bye, ever. The way that the parameters are set, and I've heard three people say it today, Notre Dame will never be in one of the top four teams to get a bye. Because since they're not in a conference, you have to be in a conference to get one of the top four buys. So for
them,
they are not. Nope. The College Football Committee does not acknowledge that. So they would get a home game, but they would have to win 4 1-and-done games to win it all with the new format, the way it's going to be.
So they try to put Notre Dame in a trick bag. You got to join the Big Ten.
Absolutely. That's exactly what they're putting in.
Nah, don't do it. They won't do it.
I read through the paperwork today. I read through the stuff online today, and I was listening to some stuff in Chicago, and that's how the rule states. Notre Dame will never be. They can be fifth. The highest they will ever be is fifth. They cannot be a top four seed with a bye. That's crazy.
So check this out, bro. Also, check this out. What if they said, no, we're not going to join the Big Two? No, we're not going to. We're just going to keep it real with the ACC. They've been our buddies. We're going to be their buddies. Because they're trying to muscle. They like the Big Ten and SEC is trying to muscle out the ACC.
Because,
like, Notre Dame, if they merge, but, like, if Notre Dame comes to the ACC football, like, they kind of come the shot caller. Remember how Texas was the shot caller in the Big 12 for so long? If that happens, I would say, whoever's the ACC commissioner, you would have to acquiesce to whatever Notre Dame kind of needs. I'll be real.
So your buys, John.
Go ahead.
Yeah, your buys are going to be the ACC champion, the Big 12 champion, the SEC champion, and the Big 10 champion. The fifth seed would be the first of the one champion-wise, and that could be Notre Dame. That's the highest they could be as the fifth seed.
They should, Brandon, do a year-to-year. You want to be in your conference.
just change conferences every year.
Well, be honest with you, do it like every 2 years, 3 years.
Notre Dame fans are not happy. They're not.
Trying to
Notre Dame. That's not right, man. Just go to a conference. Times are changing. Go to a conference. Other thing, trying to figure out the playoffs for the top 12, John. I saw Pat 40 put out a report. Or not Pat 40, but Pete Thamel put out a report right before we went on live the show. They also yesterday during the discussion of them going to a 14-team playoff starting in 2026. I say you might as well go 16 and just rip the Band-Aid off and do the full 16.
32.
Well, here's the problem. The schedule, John, the way it's looking, the national championship is going to be at the end of January, most likely, because we're going to have playoff games through the middle and late January.
You going to bleed into the NBA, more into the NFL?
Yep.
Business.
They are.
You got to be careful about that. Now, the NBA and NCAA can kind of bleed into one another because those are basketball fans. Those are basketball fans looking for two different basketball experiences, right? When you talk about college football and how serious people take that, and you're talking about professional football and potentially how, you know what I'm saying, as you're getting closer to the end of the season, how people seriously take that is when you talk about playoff implications. Man, you're asking for a very combustible fan base because those fan bases are the same. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Wow. So, like, that's amazing that college football is kind of pissing in the pool.
Yeah, we'll see. Exactly.
If they allow how far that goes.
Thank our sponsor, Scott K. Nichols, State Farm Insurance, Maverick Custom Motorsports. Without those two, we would not be able to do our show. So thank you to both of our sponsors for that, John. Dak Prescott's people, I think they're just about crazy, as everybody I know, John. Dak Prescott's people, there's a quote that came out that Dak Prescott is going to command $60 million a year on his next contract.
To flounder? I mean, Dak Prescott, he's a winning quarterback, but you want Dak Prescott to flounder? You're going to give him $60 million to flounder? Dak Prescott is good on the mic. He's good on the mic. He's good commercially. You know what I'm saying? He's good for about 12 weeks out of 17. He's good. Not great. He's good. And they're holding on to him, and he's pumping up. His numbers are going to be inflated just like Tony Romo's is. Because he played for the star.
Yep.
So $60 million down. Man, Jerry Jones ain't signing that. He ain't signing that check.
Russ Wilson and Steeler talks are heating up. When Russ gets released, that Pittsburgh will be a team that will be going after Russ. I'll be all right with it. Bring old Russ in. Steelers country. Let him ride.
Yeah, it improves. Oh, wow. It improves the quarterback room, for sure.
It does. That's what we need, for sure. I mean, he may suck. Hopefully he doesn't, but he's better than what's in there now.
Can't be no worse than Trubisky.
Mitch is gone, by the way. They cut him.
I know. I'm saying he could be no worse than Trubisky.
Yeah. So give me Fields. Give me
wait a minute.
Give me
you
Fields or give
Fields
me
too?
Russ Wilson. One of the two. Give me either one.
Get them both. Get them both, man.
Just get them both. Let's go. Go all in, right? John,
inside,
NFL franchise tags have opened up for the next 2 weeks. Michael Pittman, your thoughts, Michael Pittman franchise tag. Will the Colts do it? Will they not? Will they sign a long-term deal? You've been talking all season, John. You kept saying, I don't know why they haven't signed him yet, Brandon. I don't know why they haven't signed him. How you
saying
right
that
now?
Right. Well, somebody, it was kind of like, you know, saying, eeny, meeny, miny, moe, who's going to get the franchise tag, either him or Jonathan Taylor? Well, we all know now Jonathan Taylor. Then as soon as I see Jonathan Taylor sign for the money that he signed for, I said, oh, wow, somebody's getting the franchise tag. And Shaq Leonard's gone, and he was already on the contract or whatever. But, like, and then there's some other homies who's on defense that they're not good enough to get a franchise tag from their numbers. But he is. So I think he gets the, the franchise tag for him is probably not bad, $26, $27 million. Granted, I don't know if he's a top eight level receiver. He's just a dependable coach receiver. That's brutal. That's not brutal. That's just the brutal. That's just the truth, man. I think, though, like, the numbers that he does, and per his target, in his defense, he's had a smorgasbord of Neapolitan-flavored quarterbacks. What did you want? This guy, Gardner Minshew, this guy,
right.
Who else? You know what I'm saying? Phillip Rivers. He had a bunch of quarterbacks that he didn't play for, and he still maintained consistent numbers, man. So, unfortunately, it's just not long-term money that they can invest in better than okay numbers. If he was a stellar, like, and then every time they, you know what I'm saying, whoever quarterback, they found him in the end zone and he would light it up. every year for like 19 touchdowns and, you know what I'm saying, how many yards, you know what I'm saying, 6-7 digit yards. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But like, it's not like that for him. So franchise tag, it'll be a year case by case.
It'd be good. It's a good position for him because then he can set the, you know, because you can also say, have him look back to the Colts when they played the Falcons when he was out. Four catches for the entire wide receiver team. Four catches for 68 yards, and 32 was on a play by Alec Pierce late in the game when they were already down by double digits. So if I was his agent, I'd say, just look at this game, folks. Do we need to pay the man? We need to pay the man, you know. And we'll see. You know, you look at other people kind of in that spot. I mean, Mike Evans is going to be looking for a new contract as well from the Bucs. He's a free agent. Can the Colts go in there and get that? Do the Colts look we're one day away from A.J. Brown just going off on Philly again and demanding a trade, right? So maybe Ballard looks that route too. I don't know. But I think you got to sew him up, and I think they will. Here's the thing. They can put him on the franchise tag, and then they have, I believe, until June to sign him to a long-term deal. So that gives you time as well. You don't have to. You were not going to lose him. You got plenty of time to work it out. So, more to come on that. Oh, Deca was on. He's not on anymore. I was going to try to bring him back on.
Ah, man, Deca, you got a little more time, man. Call in.
Deca's, Indiana State lost twice this week, John. I feel like now they have to win the Missouri Valley if they're going to get in. They got to do that. It's a wrap.
Very tough. It's unfortunate how that conference is kind of looked upon. There's some quality teams, especially with a team that is like the Illinois State, which is at the bottom of the rankings of the Missouri Valley, can still win at home in Terre Haute. You know what I'm saying? Which was kind of, like I said, it was kind of big time for them. But like, no, the Pirates and B don't see that particular conference as a two-team conference. You know what I mean? So that, yeah, at this point, they're gonna have to play their damnedest and win the whole tournament.
Okay. What is Zach Taylor, head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals, is in attendance tonight for IU's game against Nebraska? Uh-oh. You looking for talent?
I bet you were. I bet you got a relative on staff. I bet you.
Could be. Real quick, John, before we go, I put some odds together. NCAA basketball odds right now, current from DraftKings Sportsbook. UConn 5-1, Purdue 7-1, Houston 8-1, Arizona 12-1, North Carolina 18-1. I feel like those are kind of your teams that you can get 24-1 on Kentucky. I just don't know how. There's days Kentucky looks good and they're unbeatable, and then there's games where it's just like, what the hell? Is this a whole different team? So I can see them making a run.
Right. It's gonna be really the hottest team that whoever makes the tournament, like,
yeah,
you know, they get hot, man. There's definitely like a way, if you watch enough Purdue basketball games, you can say, yeah, I can see Purdue, even given what they've done in the past, right, and kind of laying the egg. But there's no way you can look at Purdue and say, hey, man, they shouldn't win 2 weekends. You can say the same thing about Marquette. You say thing about, you know, saying UConn. These are the top teams for a particular reason. I think the best two teams is still UConn and Purdue. And then on the outside, could the team like Arizona get hot because they have enough of everything? Dynamic point guard play from the Love Kid, and they got some other pro players didn't want to go to the G League playing out there in Arizona, man. You know what I'm saying? So like, no, man. But those are, like I said, those are probably top 2, 3, 4 teams, man. They are also subject to upsets themselves. They're not necessarily perfect.
Yeah. I think it's gonna be whoever gets the best layout and through the tournament.
Yep. For Darcy. So I
can't NBA.
A couple more weeks before we roll that out.
Yeah, exactly. NBA odds, Celtics right now, the favorites, 2-1. Nuggets are 4-1. Clippers are third, 8-1. or 5-1, excuse me. The Bucks are 7-1. The Suns 13-1. The Knicks then are 22-1. They're the fifth favorite or sixth favorite to win the title. And then it's Lakers at 10, at 30-1. Warriors at 40-1 at 14th overall. And Pacers 120-1, 17th out of the league. So, yeah, the odds right now are saying Celtics, Nuggets, with Clippers and Bucks being the other two teams in the conference finals. So we'll see. We're getting in a great time of sports, college basketball, NBA playoff times coming near, heartache and a heartbreak. So we're looking forward to that. Mm-hmm. We've got NFL free agency, NFL draft. John Birdsong is going to be all over the NFL draft with his mocks. So we're looking forward to that. John,
yeah, a couple more weeks, man. We'll be hearing those buzzer beaters more and more often, man. So get ready for the madness, man. I just want to say thank you to Scott K. Nichols, State Farm Insurance, for being our sponsor. I want to say thank you to Maverick Custom Motorsports for being our sponsor as well. I want to say thank you to the Indianapolis Recorder and Danny Bridges for topping it up, man. Y'all went down a wormhole of racing, and whatever questions, the questions that I was going to ask them, y'all had already asked. Boom, boom. You know what I'm saying? So it was a wormhole between NASCAR, IndyCar. If you didn't get schooled, if you go back and listen to that, because that's a lot of information, especially, like I said, both those seasons are starting. You know what I'm saying? But I want to say thank you to Danny Bridges from the Indianapolis Reporter for calling in tonight, man. Like, he's definitely solid for another program. Outside of that, man, I want to say thank you also to the folks for chiming in on the Facebook Live. Thank you for like, sharing all the content, man. It helps with the numbers, man. With that being said, Brandon, episode 289 was another instant classic, man. We're going to do episode number 290 even bigger and better next week, man. With that being said, I'm Jonathan Burston. That's Brandon Lee. Crossroads Sports. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. You can find more episodes on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Be sure to like and subscribe for more Crossroads Sports content.